when I like look at how I have 100 million streams on Spotify, it's like that meme of that dude at the party with the solo cup in the corner. It's like, these people don't know I have 100 million streams on Spotify. It's so funny.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Kids at Work podcast with Matt Corman. Pleasure to have you back again. And thanks for tuning back in. Whether you're on audio or you're on YouTube, let me just say to the audio guests, we got about 1,000, we had 1,100 on the last episode on audio, but we only get like 100 or so views on YouTube. And I know I just started out on YouTube, but like, if you guys like watching shit, like there's like 900 of you guys that aren't looking at the video. There's a video portion of this as well. So like, if you like looking at shit, definitely go over to YouTube and go check that out as well. But today I'm going to continue on with the trend of having on musicians. Today, our guest, he's a recording artist. He's been streamed over 100 million times on Spotify just alone, not including the other platforms. 74,000 followers on his Spotify and over 30,000 on his Instagram. He's toured across the United States, all while managing to remain independent. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, Ryan Oakes. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was the intro?
It was incredible.
Yeah. Got everything right?
Yeah. Couldn't ask for a better intro.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at your Twitter. It looks like you paid out more in COVID relief than our own government has to your friends. Pretty insane.
I did. Yeah. Well, it was mainly to one person, but it was just helping a friend out. But I was just saying, like, I'm by no means rich. And it's crazy how the government can literally just print as much money as they want at this point to boost the economy, and they just won't do it. So it's very angering to me that I had to step up and pay more than our government did to someone.
Can you imagine, man? I know. I was just I put this shit on my Instagram last night because I was just like looking into it. And sometimes I'm not a very political person, but I like to talk about this shit sometimes. And I know it's pretty insane, like how little I remember tweeting last night something about like how out of touch these people have to be to think that like $600 is actually going to do anything for anybody anywhere, you know?
And countries that are far more less wealthy than the United States, in a sense, have paid a significant amount more, which is just terrifying to me.
Yeah, shit's absolutely pretty insane. And I posted this guy's salary, the guy who like blocked the stimulus bill, and he makes $7,500 a day. Every single day.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up. You know, he's the one who's blocking a $2,000 like bill, like one check. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Even if they paid the $2,000, he would still make more than both those stimulus checks combined in the day. It's like, there needs to be something that's fixed with that for sure.
Yeah. They just don't give a fuck about us. Like regardless, like no one really gives a fuck about us. So it's just kind of sad, but whatever.
Yeah. That's the sad reality right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. But dude, I want to dive in. Before I start, I kind of want to give you your roses here because like, you may not even know. I mean, we've connected like a couple different times, but like, I remember you've been doing music for much longer than I have in terms of like releasing music. And cause I remember in college, what year did you graduate?
College was 2017.
Yeah. Same as me. So I remember I was putting out like I was the rapper on campus and like, I was like the popular rapper. Right. And then I go on like YouTube and I'm looking up these other guys. I'm like, oh, like how's everybody else doing? Like, dude, I was getting like 1,000 views a song. Right. And then this was 2017, like my senior year. And I found, or maybe 2016, I found you and I found like Arizona and like Sea Chalks. And then I think Nico it was Justin Stone. I found it through Justin because Justin reached out to me and was like, bro, like I'm fucking with your song Northside. Like, let me hop on it. And he like remixed it, which is since gone now because we got rid of it. But like, I remember coming across your channel and a few others. And I was like, dude, I thought I was doing it. Like these kids are getting like hundreds of thousands of views and like no one really like knows too much of who they are. You know what I mean? Like they're the college rappers on their campus, but they're like doing insane numbers, like, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys were like, you were doing some serious fucking numbers off the gate, right?
When, not initially, but when we all hit our senior years in college is when everything started to like escalate. So yeah, it's pretty accurate.
That's pretty insane, man. What, I kind of want to dive more into like with the work ethic and talk a little bit about like the music aspect, like the business aspect with you, because I don't know. Like, I feel like we think very similar with it, and you've been working on this thing for a very, very long time and still haven't hit like a stardom thing. Right. But it's still like a successful thing for you. But like, what were you doing early on that, you know, separated yourself from being just like a kind of a small fish to like getting on these massive, massive channels like Rap City and Rap Nation and doing those types of things?
I think the big difference off bat was how serious I took it. Like, obviously music should be fun and you should always enjoy what you make. But once I made my first song, my senior year of high school, from there, it was just like, there's no way I'm not going to do this. And I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to make sure that like failure is impossible. Mm. And then once I started uploading songs and they were, my first song did like 1,000 views in a day. And I was like, oh,
wow. Cool. Wow. Like,
yeah. And it was a really bad song because it was my first song. But I think that was just more out of people in my hometown being curious as to what I was doing. But once I saw, I was like, oh, you can just, it's really as easy as just recording on this $20 Best Buy mic and uploading it onto DatPiff or whatever it was back then. And then, yeah, once the Russ era kind of took off, I was finding Russ's music when it only had a couple hundred plays per song. And then I checked back a few months later to find a song I liked and he had literally blown up in 3 months significantly. And that was only significantly at the time to me. It was like, he got 10,000 followers and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, this dude is growing crazy. What is he doing so differently? Yeah. And he was just posting a song every week, which I'm sure every other musician's aware of now. And I just literally hopped on that trend. And then that's probably when you found me. Because I was posting, I was one of like the first people, not actually, but like one of the earliest artists on Spotify, which I think is why they helped me so much along the line. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I was posting a song every week. And then it's funny that they didn't really start growing at first, but 6 or so months later, all of them just started just skyrocketing. I think that's when Spotify added like Discover Weekly and stuff, when they were pushing music to more people. And then just off the bat, I just started getting a ton of new fans. And then ever since then, that's when I quit my job, moved to LA. Didn't have music paying the bills yet, but once I moved to LA, fate kind of unraveled and my streams went up so I could pay the bills with it and stuff like that. So just like frequent releases, which we've talked about and which is what I'm going to start doing. I just posted on my Instagram this week that I'm going to do a song every other week all year.
Nice.
Just because if you're literally independent, why would you not? It doesn't make sense to me why you would want to hold music when one of the songs you're sitting on can be the one that ends up paying your bills, like one-minded for quite a long time.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. It's cool hearing that, like that backstory. Now, when you were putting out those songs like every week, I know just because like, I mean, I kind of know your background, but did you like, did you commit? Cause some people do like, there's a lot of people that do music. There's a lot of rappers out there that you can think of like from, I don't know, maybe your town or area, or whatever, like I can think of, but like, there's a difference. There's a difference with me, like in my city, there's a difference with like every artist who like does this seriously. And like you said before, anyone who hasn't quit has made it that like, you know, right. And like, right. Did you know, like, why did you take it so seriously? Were you like, oh, I'm going to be a rapper from here on out? Like, did you know for certain?
That's what I didn't know if it would work out, but I know that I certainly wanted to make it work out and that I wanted to be that for the rest of my life for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super interesting. I want to go back to those college days though. Did you go to you didn't go to West Virginia, did you? Right.
No, everyone thinks I did just because Arizona and Connor and like Nico and all of them did. I went to school in Virginia, this one called Radford. It's like the West Virginia of Virginia. Like, it's a big party school and not really academic focused at all. But yeah, I was just at WU all the time because that's where they all were and that's where the music was. So I would make the trips out there like a ton.
So how did that connection even come about then? Are you guys all from the same, like, did you know each other growing up?
No, Connor and Arizona actually are from somewhere 40 minutes from my hometown. It's called Hagerstown. And I'm from this area that most people would know as Leesburg now. But no, I was just at the point where I was trying to be super good about collabing with people because that was the best way for me to grow at the time. Yeah. And I was looking for other people kind of making waves in their hometown. And I found Connor and then we made a song together. And then I had a show with Moosh and Twist before they kind of broke up and did their own thing. And I brought Connor out to do our song and he was like, that was awesome. Let's kind of do an exchange where every show we bring each other out to get each other exposure and we play a song that we have together. And that led to me and him in Arizona making a ton of songs. And then, yeah, just kind of grew from there.
It's such a good, like, that's such a nice collaborative team to have. I feel like off rip, like in music, it's not like that. Like people aren't like, yo, like we're just going to help each other out, especially if you are from like the same type of area. I don't know. That's what Boston's like, at least. Like it's not too, it hasn't been too collaborative. It's getting a little more collaborative now, but not too collaborative, especially in the show space, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
everyone's trying to charge an opener and shit. Like, I mean, but that's just kind of how it is. But fuck yeah. So then you kept on working with them, and then you ended up, like, you started seeing a little bit more success your senior year. And then I think things kind of took like a skyrocket. Like, I mean, I was looking at your Spotify chart, and like, what year was that where things kind of really took off? I think it was actually pretty close to like 2 years ago.
It had to be 2018 for sure. Like, yep. Summer 2018.
Yep. Wow. Fucking yeah. Spot on. Yeah. Summer 2018, man. And things started taking a turn. That was when you were living in LA, correct?
Yeah. That was about a year after I moved to LA, and it actually took off while I was on tour with Dylan Reese and Abstract. Like, I was just watching that Drinking About You song explode by like 10,000 streams every day. And I was just showing them, and I was like, I don't know what to do about this, but this is literally, it did like a million streams in a month at one point, and I was like, this is not okay.
Dude, what is that song?
Was 5 years old. 34 million, I think.
That song was 5 years old, and then 5 years later it started taking off?
Bro, that song I dropped, it had to be 2013.
Oh my God. You were on Spotify in 2013?
It was fall of senior year. So maybe 20... No, wait. So no, maybe like 2015, but still, like, 3 years later, just took off out of literally nowhere. And everyone's like, what'd you do? Like, what was so different?
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, it just sat there, and out of no, like, it must've been on some big YouTube video. I never found out. Like, someone big must've pushed it on like a behind their vlog or like something like that. But I'll never know. It just literally blew up overnight, basically.
Call that good luck when preparation. That's amazing though. I mean, like, it's even more insane that you have no answer for it.
Right. It was just, I think it was somewhat organic, but one person with a huge network had to have done something.
Dude, that's how that shit works. Like, if you think about any of your records that have like broken through a lot, like, I think about like Word of the Wise or like even Need Your Lane or, I don't know, like shit like that for me. And every single, like, there's a trend between every song that is kind of broken through the million threshold for me, or like, and you have a lot more than I do that are, how many songs do you have that have over a million streams?
Maybe 25. I don't know.
Dude, you're so fucking funny. You don't know how crazy that actually is, I think.
No, I do. But I'm the dude who's like, I need more all the time. But it's crazy. Like, I definitely sit there, I'm like, when I like look at how I have 100 million streams on Spotify, it's like that meme of that dude at the party with the solo cup in the corner. It's like, these people don't know I have 100 million streams on Spotify. It's so funny.
Yeah, that's fucking funny, dude. Well, so if you know, you got Drinking Without You, like, what else? Like, dude, like, you're, the thing about you is you have a fan base that, like, you get streamed so much. Like, when you post your analytics, like, I've messaged you a couple times, when you, like, you'll like post your analytics of your like first day streams on your songs. And it literally is like, I want to throw up. Like what is your average like song when your song drops that first day? Like, what is it typically doing?
If it's like if it hits hard, it's like 25 to 30,000 in a day. Usually like 20 to 30,000 is the average.
Dude. So that's how many streams that I currently do. Like, every day.
Right.
If you're able to do that on one song, your first, dude, that's crazy first day numbers, you know, especially independent. And you're
absolutely
not,
yeah.
You're also not getting, every time you're dropping, you're not getting, like, as of recently, you've been getting editorials, but leading up to this year, it seemed like you weren't really getting any Spotify love. You know what I mean?
And what changed that is the genre switch for sure. Because once I started changing and like submitting the songs as alternative rock, because I have heavy guitars and rock type drums in my music now. Mm-hmm. The rock scene was like, this kid, because they see my followers, they see my monthly listeners, they're like, oh, a big band just dropped a song, and they're more geared up to listen to it, because a lot of bands don't have a lot of monthly listeners. Because submitting a song as a hip hop song is, dude, there's so many people trying to rap, and granted, there's so many people making rock music too, but it's just nowhere near as much competition, which is why I actually went down that lane, and I'm starting to go even further down that lane, just because it's like more potential for growth over time.
Yo, I didn't even think about that from what you just said, right? Just like supply and demand almost.
Literally. The hip hop people are so flooded that I was just like, huh, I wonder what happens if I submit this song with an electric guitar on it as alternative rock, and then boom, playlist. And now it's like almost every drop will get a playlist. I hope it keeps continuing, but obviously you can't really bank on it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think, like, you really are making, you turned into, in my eyes, like punk alternative rock artist. You just happen to be the lead vocalist everywhere, right? Like the only difference between you and like a pop alternative band, rock band, would be that there's no other members other than your like producers, and you're producing sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I have a whole self-produced album I'll be making throughout like the next year so that I can be the one man band.
That's fucking insane, dude. Yeah. And you've even changed up like the whole entire look, right? Like when I found you, it was energy and it was like darker bars. Mm. You know what I mean? Like that hard rap shit. And like the whole image even has slightly changed. You've kept to who you are, but even like your hair, for instance, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like even
your hair. That in part with that, it's just because me, this dude named Whit Lowry and this dude named NF all started getting buzz at the same time. And then they just kind of like NF exponentially skyrocketed, Whit Lowry skyrocketed. And then I kind of was just still steadily gaining buzz. And I was like, well, I don't want to be the guy that sounds like Whit Lowry and NF. So that inspired a huge part of the sound switch, because I don't want to be the guy that sounds like anyone. Like I want to be known as my own artist. And luckily when I moved to LA, I met insane producers who heard that I could do punk music, because we try to do one punk song as a joke. And then it just spiraled into crafting this new sound from there.
Dude, you can definitely make fucking punk music. I almost wish you just like found it like a year before, you know?
I know. Yeah. Well, the good news is, getting on this other newer sound, updated punk sound that I think is going to do way better. So we'll see how that goes. But I have this guy that's just insane that I work with, and he believes in everything I do so hard that he's riding for me, and he's in a really big punk band. So I'm working with him. And we're going to make it so it's like its own new thing, because we know that the punk music already came back with MGK. He's got that covered. So now we're recrafting it to be the newer sound. So we'll see how it goes.
Fuck yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Let's, all right, cool. Now we got your, like, you know, your genre out of it. I want to dive into, I'm going to bring up your past a little, because I want to talk about more of the work ethic and behind the scenes stuff. You've dropped a ton of music videos as well. It almost seems like you still like I haven't dropped a music video since 2017, and I wasn't even like taking music that serious. Like you're still on that train, like pretty damn heavy. Like people also don't understand how much fucking work a music video is, dude. Like,
and money. It's so much money to do so many videos. It's insane.
Dude, it's so much fucking money. And also like the worst thing is when you drop a music video and it's like, let's say you do a couple thousand or whatever. It's like, cool, but like I could have pocketed that grand. You know what I mean? Like, does anyone really need the video? That's the fucking shit that I struggle with. I'm like, because people are like, where's music videos? But I'm like, why would I spend a grand right now or more on a music video and then have a couple thousand people watch it? Like, you know what I mean?
I've been trying to play these algorithms for like the last few years. Spotify worked. I tried dropping like a visualizer, and when I moved to LA, every week with the songs I dropped, and they did okay. One of them blew up, but yeah, they don't help at all. Like, I've wasted so much money like five figures at least trying to get the YouTube algorithm to like me. And this year, 2021 is the year that I'm just not gonna worry about it. I have like animation visualizers dropping with the songs, but like, I'm never going to invest in a music video again unless I for sure know that it's guaranteed to pay me back.
That's the thing, because they don't fucking pay you back. Like YouTube views are shit anyways for money. So it's like,
and they limit you. Well, I'll say this for anyone that's listening. I put the clean version of the song on my last music video and they did give me more love. So that's how sus YouTube has become.
It's crazy how like people don't know this, because like a lot of my listeners are fans, but like, as a recent, there's a lot more artists tuning in, but like we're talking about, like you're talking about algorithms. Like the sentence you just said wasn't like, you said like, oh, I put the clean version out so I got more love. It wasn't like talking about the actual song and how good of a music video it was to get love, because a lot of it's all controlled by fucking algorithms nowadays, and people aren't that aware of it that are consumers, you know?
The clean version of the song literally just made it so YouTube showed it to more of the people already subscribed to me. Which is so messed up.
That's so
fucked up. It's disgusting.
Yeah. That's fucking insanity. I mean, that makes our job 10 times fucking harder, dude. Especially when we're not getting streamed a lot. Did you know that Tidal pays like a crazy, crazy more amount than Spotify?
I did. I'm super aware. It's just that no one is on Tidal, dude, which is the issue.
I was looking at I was comparing, like, have you seen that thing called streaming royalty calculator?
Yeah.
Dude. I was looking at like my numbers and comparing it. If like all those people were on Spotify streaming, and I was like, dude, I'd be fucking balling right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost fucked up. Like how the streaming payouts are. Like me and you are pretty lucky positions. Like a lot, like the majority of artists can't break through to that threshold of like making enough money off of their fucking streams. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I had as many streams on Tidal, if I had on Spotify, I'm pretty sure I'd be a millionaire, which is very annoying.
Dude, I got to look up actually. Can you actually, how much do you do a day? You like on average?
Now the holidays and stuff, I think I'm at 65,000 streams a day, maybe 70,000 a day.
That's a lot, bro.
Bro, oh my God, I know, but watch me next year. I'm definitely going to double that shit.
I believe you. Damn, bro.
I'm excited.
I'm not saying the number. I mean, I don't even need to say the fucking number, but like if that all was on Tidal, like you'd be.
No, tell me. I don't care. I want to know.
It's almost about $900 every day.
God, that sucks.
Yo, everyone subscribe to Tidal that listens to us.
Yeah, I'm making like a fraction of that every month.
But yeah, no, dude, that it's like half. It's like always like fucking pretty much cut in half. So I don't know. I just found it fucking interesting. But bro, when it wasn't working out, and when you weren't before you got on any playlist, I think you got a little bit of beginner's luck. Like I hear Mike Studd talk about the shit on his podcast with him, and like how after baseball he dropped his first shit and got like he was popping on music, and like you hear a lot of athletes and some like entrepreneurs talk about this thing, you know, beginner's luck. Everyone's heard of it, but like it's almost like I feel like you said, like, you know, for your first day you got 1,000 views and early on you were doing okay. It's like, bro, like that wasn't my case, and that was like not a lot of people's cases. So I don't know. Did you ever hit like a lull point in the beginning though, that it was like you said, when you moved out to LA, you weren't making enough to survive off of the streams, right?
Mm. Well, so when I started off, I was getting like 1,000 to 2,000 views on my YouTube videos. And that was because I was spamming other videos, like begging people to listen to my music.
Of course.
And that was the lull for like 6 years until I moved to LA. Like there was no, it wasn't like a steady growth at all. It was like stagnant and then boom, kind of like exponential out of nowhere. And then now we're again at like this stagnant point. And the next goal is to get that next boom. So you gotta make it happen.
Nice, bro. Dude, that's crazy though. 6 years is a long time to be fucking grinding on something. I say this all the time though. If you're not in love with it, and it's something that's hard, like music or just like anything that you're doing, like, you know, and I know that, you know, because like we're in that space and shit, but like people talk about drop shipping, right? And like my buddy does a good job at like making some cash on e-commerce, but a lot of his products, like some of the products that when he's importing from like Alibaba or whatever, AliExpress, and then it's not working, I'm like, bro, this is going to last like a year. Like if that, like, it's not going to really last because you don't actually give a fuck. You give a fuck about making money. Now, if Ryan Oakes gave a fuck about just making the money, you would have quit. Am I wrong?
No, I think that when going back to me saying like everyone I know that hasn't quit has made it, it's because if you're in it for the right reasons, you're going to make it. If you're in it for the wrong reasons, you're never going to make it.
Yeah. Yo, do you ever get like, I get stressed out when I start thinking the other way, like when I stop thinking about the songs and like actually having fun with music and I start thinking about algorithms and money and like the business side of it, like my work suffers, like my mind suffers too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially during the pandemic, I was freaking out because initially streaming was supposed to take like this huge drop and like we already weren't touring and it dropped. I think streaming dropped like 20%. Somehow mine never dropped. And then streaming went back up to normal. So I was definitely freaking out because I was like, well, what if I start running out of money? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started doing all that weird stuff, like getting into Bitcoin and trading stocks and all that other stuff. Cause I was like, there's no way I can have a job ever again and be happy. So what I would do, whatever it takes to like never have to have a job again by learning like all these weird trades and cryptocurrencies and the stock market and stuff like that, just to have like a backup plan.
What do you value?
Which most? I never thought I'd want to do.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, it sounds like you have that personality though. It's just like, you're trying to fucking like you have the entrepreneur mind, you know, obviously, but what do you value most then? Because if you don't ever, like you're saying, like, you'll never want to go back to like, or like get a job. Did you have a job out of college?
Yeah. I had to work as like my major was in health and human performance. So I actually trained a couple Redskin players. And then I just quit because I do working from 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. then from noon to 3, then from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. like around people's work schedules. Mm-hmm. was just the worst. So I was like, I'm not doing this. And then I just moved to LA.
Damn, bro. I've been there, man. I remember when I graduated college, I worked at Enterprise, ran a car and was doing 6 to 6 and working weekends as well. Like while I was trying to put out music. And then like, I just like hit a point where I was like, dude, well, I you run into some fucking luck if you're working hard at something. And so then I got lucky. But what do you value most then? Because it sounds like, I don't want to answer it for you, but like, it sounds like it's freedom, right? Like it's not like, more than anything. Like, what do you value most in your life?
Yeah. So the two passions are just making music, making something cool from nothing. And then the second one is definitely freedom. Like my biggest thing ever is ever since I was a kid, I was like intrigued by financial freedom and I knew I was going to figure out something to get there. I tried literally everything. Even while I was making music, cause I needed more money to invest in my music, but any extra money I'm making is because I want to put it back into music. So it's just financial freedom and the ability to invest in what I love to try to impact more people is what my goal is.
It's a great answer, my friend.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. So I'm like kind of on like the, like not on the opposite end. I'm aligned with you perfectly, but I've been thinking about going back into the workforce because just like in 2021, I think I told you about like that deal situation I have like with like I have an investment kind of coming in and I'm just thinking like, I'm working on the music, but like, I'm not gonna be able to release just as much. And I'm like, dude, if I did use my degree right now and I had my job, like I could put like X amount into ads. Like I could be doing like so much more because I have more capital. But right now, like I have enough capital, you know, like I have the capital, but like I want more to be able to invest and like get like investment properties and like go into real estate and just like kind of other things like that. Like, would you ever consider that? Or is it kind of like just like a no?
Well, I would. And also for the record, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a job and being a musician. You'd be literally surprised how many artists I know that do crazy numbers, but because they're in deals and haven't toured this year, they literally have been working jobs. And I'm talking like some of the biggest bands.
Really?
And they're not even mad about it, bro. They're just like, it's how it goes. So it's like, it just depends on what you want. Like my biggest thing for whatever reason has always just been to never have to work for anyone and make my money on my own terms and buy my first house with money I made myself. No one telling me what to do. Like that's just my goal. And there's definitely nothing wrong with being, it's so stressful not having a job and guaranteed income. Like we could, my Spotify could be deleted tomorrow and I'd be like, holy shit, like I'm screwed. So having that safety net is definitely probably super relaxing and a lot less stressful. When I'm done, quote unquote, done with music, who knows? I'm not opposed to getting a job as long as it's something I like to do because that's freedom in my eyes. So who knows when that is, if it'll happen or whatever.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Hey, man. Something beautiful about what you just said, though, is like you're what you've done in this space. Like I always try to just imagine this, right? Because like that's why I have the podcast too, partly is to build my network and to meet more people. Because like when, let's say you're like, hey, man, I'm gonna get a fucking job. Mm-hmm. You've built up your network enough with enough successful people to just run into them. Like I'm sure you know someone that started some company, someone that's some successful. Just like, hey, man, like let me help you out with this for a little bit. You know what I mean? The company that I'm thinking about like working for right now. It's like my buddy has a startup company that he started like a couple of years ago that was fucking nothing, and now it's something. And so he's like, yo, because I used to do sales. And software sales. And he was like, hey, like if you have any free time, you want to like help me out with the sales team or whatever and shit. And I'm just like, yeah, like I might consider doing that because that's the beauty of it though. Like it won't be as much of a struggle for you because you've done so much work as an entrepreneur and expanding your network that you'll be fine when that fucking time comes. So there's no need to throw up. You know what I mean? Like you'll be fine.
Yeah. And I think that just like having the amount of streams I got, I can just pretty much walk into any label and be like, look what I did for myself. Let me help you with other artists and exactly. Do the same thing. Because I have friends sign on huge deals and they're killing it and I'll never catch up to them as long as I don't sign. And then I have other friends in deals that I'm streaming 10 times more than every day. So it's like, there's something weird there and there's an opportunity there for when it hits me and I want to do that. But yeah, for now, I'm just going to ride out music probably for at least another 5 to 6, 10 years, whatever it may be.
Bro, shut up. You're going to blow up next year. You're going to blow up 2021. We're manifesting this. I'm going to have the best year of my life. You're going to have the best year of your life. There was a time.
I believe it.
Yeah. I believe it too, dude. I was literally texting my buddy last night. He sent me, the Kid Leroy posted his like 1 year ago, monthly listeners to like this year. And it was like 60,000, like 13 million. Granted, he had like a deal and like, some other like, you know, other fucking shit happened. But I told him, I was like, dude, I feel this energy this year that like I've never felt before. Like this year, like I've never felt it was my year really. This year, I feel like it's really, really my year. Like, how do you feel going into this year? Like, because you've had a lot of years, you know what I mean? So what do you think?
I would be literally baffled if I didn't double my numbers. I've never put out music as good as the music I'm dropping next year. And I'm dropping 26 songs or something it comes out to. And it's just like 26 of my best songs frequently. Like I'm abiding by Spotify wanting to drop frequently. I'm giving the fans what they want. I'm not rushed. The songs are perfect. I worked on them all year to make sure they're perfect for next year. So yeah, I mean, I set myself up. It would not surprise me at all to double everything on every like YouTube, Instagram, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever it may be. And then I don't know if I'm going to tour, honestly, just because even if it's open or whatever, because it's going to be impossible to book a tour because all these venues shut down. We're going to have like 30% of the venues we had before to work with 200% more bands trying to tour. It'll be interesting to see how that works. So I'm just going to release, build online, and then hopefully 2022 is the year. Well, I'm going to gain a lot of momentum next year. And then I think 2022 will actually be the year where it gets interesting.
Yeah, I could see that taking place. I'm going to want to be here and say that, like, I would say that if I know you're going to stick to that plan in 2021. I'm maybe far fetching it out there because you have a lot though. So doubling for you would be like 140,000 streams every day and consistently, like almost like a low then. I mean, that's a lot, but like you could have a breakout year, man. Like you could have a breakout year. You've actually
totally.
And you, like you, like you said, like you started out like torn, like doing those shows with like Arizona, like, and it's just a crazy concept because it's just a popular topic because like this one underground, I mean, it was a headline on Billboard, right? It's like underground indie artist blows up, like has like a number one song. And like, it's cool seeing people, like, how do you feel seeing somebody like Arizona or you, if there's somebody else in mind, I know you have a lot of connects there, but like, that like have a breakout year and it's like, yeah, like this guy had like 100,000 or 1 million monthly listeners. Now he's 20 million, you know, how does it feel to watch that?
It's cool. I think that everyone that knew Arizona, even from the jump, like you could just the energy that guy gives off is insane. And it's just like the way he carries himself and like everything about him just stated like star, star, star. So, I mean, everyone that was in his circle and like people like me who were kind of like out of the circle, but still friends with him and stuff. We all knew that it was going to happen for him.
Yeah.
So
he was just really fucking, like when I found him, it was just like, and I met him a couple of times, but I feel you with the energy, but it was just like, this guy makes good songs. Like he was just making better songs than like I was making, or just like in general, just making good songs, you know?
He's just literally like a hit maker. He's so good at that.
Yeah. But what were you saying? Sorry.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Just like people like watching somebody blow up or having like an artist have like a blow up year.
Oh, when Arizona blew up, I personally knew people that were stressing about it because they didn't, but it didn't really hit me like that because they were like, oh, he blew up and I'm not yet. And they were freaking out a lot.
Really?
Just a lot of artists I followed that I know Arizona were tweeting about like being super stressed and like salty things about TikTok not being the way you should blow up and all this weird, clearly envious tweet stuff. But I mean, if that kid was one of my best friends at one point, he's still a good friend to me. And I was ecstatic for him. Like he had been working for it. If anything, it just showed me he did it. So that means I'm on the right track to do it. And he even himself was like, dude, don't worry about it. Like I know you and what you can do and stuff like that. And you'll be fine. Like you're going to blow up. Don't worry. So, I mean, hearing that from him was nice and all this other stuff. Like, I don't know why I'd be feeling weird about it. Like that's my fucking guy.
What a strange way to think. Like people are like I've never looked at somebody else's and I found that like, I almost feel like I'm a misfit sometimes in the community because I never look at other people and I'm like, I'm really not envious. I'm more or less just inspired. And that's why I like talking to people and reaching out. Like I didn't even, when I said to give you a rhythm, like you inspired me like early on, like seeing how hard you guys were working and like even seeing like Justin working. And I remember seeing like when I first connected with Justin, I was like, I didn't know who he was, but he was like, yo, I'm on Swaggy Tracks, like blah, blah, blah. Like, let me hop on your Northside shit. And I looked at his shit and just seeing like, he had a whiteboard that had like all of his numbers and then like had all of his songs he was releasing and whatever that he put on Twitter. And I was like, oh, these guys are like working like that. Like I'm not doing anything like that. Like I'm doing like a song a month, and it's not even professionally mixed and mastered. Like, I didn't even know what an engineer really was. And like, it was really inspiring. So it's like, I look at people's successes and it just fucking, like you said, like it shows you it's possible. Like it shows, like I feel the same way, dude.
Yeah. And if anything, like the Arizona thing lit a fire under my ass in a good way. Cause it's like, oh my God, he just broke out. Like, let's go hard. Cause we could do that too. Like I watched this kid I know in the sticks of Maryland. Like Arizona's upbringing was literally crazy. From the first time I met him, it was in like this farmhouse. He was not doing well financially. He was on his own at a super young age. And then just to see him have like a huge mansion in Hollywood Hills now, it's like, wow, he literally did it. It's crazy.
That's amazing, man. No, I mean, shout out to him and props to him, man. He's always been nice to me and super inspiring story. So like, it's fucking cool. But you know, I almost wonder, like sometimes I'm like, damn, like who's the next guy going to be that we're going to see that's going to like have this breakout year. That's why like I ask, cause I'm like, even think about like people that like knew Jack Harlow early on, like, yo, didn't you have a song
me. With
Jack Harlow?
Yes, dude. I dropped a song with Jack Harlow years before I dropped Drinking About You. So that was the one in like 2012.
Dude, you dropped a song with
No one's allowed to say Jack Harlow blew up overnight. Cause that kid was dropping music when he was like 12 to 13 years old is when I made my song with him. Cause I was 15 and I'm a couple years older. So like that kid has been grinding.
Wow. Wow. That's great. Yeah. 2012, bro. I didn't even have a microphone.
Right. I had a $20 Best Buy microphone that was probably as big as my AirPod case that I was doing this into.
You're going ham too, doing the energy bars, that type shit.
Yeah, literally.
Bro, you're so back to that. Like you started making that like kind of like darker music early on. What, I guess like, can we talk a little bit about like what inspired that early on and stuff? Like, it almost seemed like, I don't know. It almost seemed like you had kind of like a chip on your shoulder or something to prove early on.
Yeah. So there's three phases of Ryan Oaks. The first phase was actually a lot more poppy and it was following along like Mike Studd and Huey Mack. Shout out to Huey Mack. He's like the nicest dude ever. And he actually gave me my first show to open for him. But anyway, I was making the frat rap stuff for sure. Like it was super fratty and like super college rap. And I rode that wave. And then I don't remember what it was really. It was just, I want to say maybe freshman year to sophomore year of college is when I started switching to that like super dark sound. And I think it was just because it was so new. Like no one had really done that before besides maybe Eminem. And it still wasn't quite as like down the lane as some of these other kids were doing. It was just super cool to me to like hear that like angry energy on a track and like the aggression and like the fast flows. It was just something super new to me. And I was like super obsessed with it. And then I don't remember. I think it was, I came across an NF song that kind of lit the fire. And it was when he was first starting and he honestly wasn't that good yet. He's amazing now. Don't get me wrong. But I remember being like, this is okay. I wonder if I can make like kind of my own version of this. And then I dropped the song and then someone sent me Whit Lowry and I like dove into that and we all kind of just rid that wave and then they both blew up. So I was like, okay, back to the drawing board. What are we going to do next? And then it was like the alternative rock pop punk stuff, which I think ultimately is where I was supposed to end up anyway, because I wasn't happy. Like, dude, making that dark music for years in a row is not good for you for sure. Like diving that deep into like crazy emotions and all that. It's good. It's good to like work through it for sure. But like, I was miserable probably the last 2 years I was making it. Like right when I moved to LA, I knew I was going to switch my sound.
Really?
And I knew it was going to make people angry. And then I did all kinds of weird stuff in like 2017, 2018 that's not on Spotify anymore. You could hear like my tone deaf singing on tracks and all this bad stuff. But it was just like, I don't want to make sad music anymore. But I still love the aggressive stuff, which is why I was like, alternative rock is the wave. So, cause I can like scream on tracks and like bar up the rock rappers and I'm more rock than the rap kids and more rap than the rock kids. So it's like a cool little,
that's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
Like me and Zero, I don't know. I think I asked you about him, but me and my friend Zero, we're like in the perfect spot, I think. Cause he's like an incredible rapper with the voice of an angel. And it's like, it's so different because you hear these rock bands and the rappers are just like, oh, this guy's okay, I guess, but it works. But I think that we're introducing like, holy shit, these dudes can bar up most rappers and scream on a track and make a crazy rock song and the same thing. Like that's where the new comes in, I think.
Yeah. No, you're blending genres. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it's like you're the one man band. So like, it's definitely a little different than what people are usually hearing in that lane. In understanding that, like, what inspires you nowadays? Like, it doesn't have to be even musically, like, even like just in general, like, dude, because you've been doing this for a while and you found success with it, right? And I only ask because it's been asked to me too, and it's kind of a hard question for me to answer. And I don't know, what would you say is inspiring you nowadays?
So it's been a weird year.
For sure.
Life was inspiring me up until this year, but I mean, this year was weird. I was locked inside in LA for like 8 straight months, staring at my screen, making songs.
Dude, LA,
to work through that.
LA was before you do, LA was so different than everywhere else. I remember when I went to like, hey, my buddy Kyle in like, I was in like Temecula, but I was going to LA for like the day. And, I just had a meeting there, and I remember I hit you up and I was like, yo, like I'm going to be in LA. Like we should kick it, whatever. And I remember like your response was almost like you were really locked in, but in Massachusetts, we weren't as like locked in as you were. Like the East Coast wasn't. And then I started to realize when I went to Los Angeles, I was like, dude, whoa, like this place is like fucking ground zero.
So let me do like a 2-minute rant here. Yeah, it was crazy, which is why I'm in Pittsburgh now. I'm at my girlfriend's parents' house. We've been bouncing back and forth to my parents' house in Virginia. I still have my place in LA, but I haven't been there since like September 1st, I think. So I've been here for like 3 months. And when I came back, it was weird because I was all paranoid about stuff because LA made it seem like it was the apocalypse and trapped us inside for like 8 straight months and only could get groceries. And my friends were like, hey, you want to go to the winery? And I was like, what do you mean you want to go to the winery? And they're like, we're going to go to the winery and then go out to eat at a restaurant. And I was like, you guys can do that? And then they're like, yeah, we're going to go to the gym first, though. Do you want to come? And I was like, you guys can go to the gym. I haven't been to a gym since March, and I've lifted and worked out since I was 12. Like, so that was crazy. That was crazy for me to hear that. And then I was like, yo, to my girlfriend, we were like, why are we here? This place kind of blows. And then not to mention, since I moved to LA, the homelessness problem is out of control. They got to help those people. It's just going, dude, it's been, even the last 3 years I've been there, from the day I got there until now, it's become a complete dump, which is why I'm hopefully moving to Nashville this summer. And we'll probably just bounce back once a month for a week in LA or something. That place is just terrible. Their governor's running it into the ground. Like, listen, I'm like a neutral politics guy because I don't argue with anyone. Trump's terrible. Our Democratic governor in California is horrendous. But yeah, dude, like my girlfriend hasn't worked since March. They wouldn't give her unemployment. And then I applied for unemployment and they passed me, which we both know I definitely don't qualify for unemployment. So I gave her my unemployment, which is why I was talking about COVID relief. Like I was using the unemployment they gave me to give it to my friends. And then my boy, I convinced to move to LA. A week later, we went on lockdown. He couldn't get a job and he had just paid for his mom's funeral and went broke with that because it was like 30 grand. And he couldn't work and they wouldn't give him unemployment. And so I had to help him. Like the way they work out there is just horrendous. And I'm pretty done with California. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds fucking awful. I mean, dude, Jesus. Like, yeah, you guys were very like, what's it called? Secluded out there. Like, I almost feel like, you know, like, I mean, you've probably seen like my rants and shit on the media and stuff. And like, I'm really into that stuff. And like, I think our views align there for sure. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah. I'm dropping a song about it.
Are you really?
A song about all the dumb shit that happened this year. That was complete clownery. January 22nd.
What's it called?
Peace of Mind.
Peace of Mind, guys. Peace of Mind. January 22nd. Yeah. Interesting. That should make waves. Hopefully we're going to find out if Spotify is really part of the big corporations or if they're going to push the song or not. We'll be able to figure out. LA is kind of a shithole. I remember the first time I went out to LA, it was actually to meet, like, what the fuck were we? I went out there to like, I forget what, why we were even out there for like music stuff. That's when I met Neek for the first time face to face. He was mixing my music for like the year prior to that, like in like 2017. And then actually that's the first time I met you. I don't even know if you know this. Do you remember that? It was at a party with like fucking Dave. It's in like a David Dobrik vlog. And some girl got a birthday saying to her and like fucking Jason Nash made a speech at it. Do you remember this?
Bro, that's the night David Dobrik Venmoed me $100 to not fight him. I have the Venmo screenshot. I posted like once every 2 or 3 years. He wasn't that famous then, granted.
He wasn't, dude. We didn't know who. Dude, keep going. I want to hear your story.
For the record, I was the one that threw that party with two other girls, so I was hammered and definitely don't remember meeting you. But that's okay. But dude, yeah. So I had this vlogger who I won't say just because I don't name drop people. And he was hitting me. He was hitting us up and he was like, can I bring like these vlogger dudes? And we were like, yeah, just make sure they're not ignorant and they somewhat behave like they can bring their cameras or whatever. It's all good. Just don't do dumb shit. The first thing they did was smash like this $60 birthday cake on the floor that I paid for.
I remember that.
And this was, I was with Mike before Mike was Mike's dad. And he was foaming at the mouth because he was like, this is ignorant as hell. I don't like these kids. Let's fight them. And I was like, yeah, let's fight them because I was drunk. And they like locked themselves in the bathroom and I opened the door and I was like, if y'all don't leave, like, I don't care who you are. I'm literally going to beat your ass. Like, there's no way around this. You just smashed a birthday cake I paid for my friend. No one here knows you. We don't care if you're famous on YouTube. That's not how it works here. Like, we're not going to suck you off because you have a couple hundred thousand subscribers or whatever. And I was just going on and on at David Dobrik. And he started to feel really bad. And I was like, you should feel really bad. And I was like, but you still gotta get the fuck out or I'm gonna beat you up vibes. And Mike was like foaming at the mouth, like ready to go. And then he just Venmoed me $100 and then I left. And I was like, okay, that works.
That works too. Hey, that's an amazing.
Hey, yeah, if you wanna pay me to not fight you, then cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I know a timestamp I can definitely use for clickbait if I need to.
I know, right? But dude, if you go back, I don't remember because I get my fans, like, I guess, just watch his vlog sometimes, which is fine. He's actually a good person now. He does like all these crazy giveaways. But they send me screenshots of his vlogs like once or twice a year. I'll have a fan send it and be like, why do you look so mad in this vlog? And there's like 10 different scenes where I'm just death staring like Jason Nash or David Dobrik because they're like pissing me off and doing some dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the YouTube culture for sure. Some of those kids need to get checked. Thank God David Dobrik checked himself. He's actually a really good guy now.
Yeah. Dude, you know more than I do. Like, I don't really know that many fucking, because I live in Boston. Like, I don't know. LA, right. You meet the YouTubers. You know what I mean? So I don't really.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. I hung out with like Logan Paul for a whole day with Arizona and Dwarf Mamba. And he's actually a good guy. That was pre-Suicide Force, though. He had a couple hiccups there, but I think he's getting his act together.
Yeah, I actually enjoy his
his podcast is crazy. It's good. Dude, I was very impressed.
Yeah, no, it's really good. I actually like the approach that he's taken to becoming like a changed person is like it's really refreshing. Like it's nice. It's inspiring as well. Like I use shit like that. I'm like, oh, this guy can fuck up to that point where I'm like, you know what, I can get.
Yeah, he posted a dead person and now he's like killing it again. It's kind of crazy.
It's fucking insane. Yeah, maybe he's uncancelable. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, that is, it's pretty nice. But yeah, dude, that but wait, what the fuck? Oh, but when I went out to LA, I originally, like, that group of kids I was out there with, we were like, oh, we're gonna move out here. We were going out there to go look at places and like meet, you know, network with people. And yeah, so I was at that party, but then I started to realize, like, when I was out there, I was like, bro, there's homeless people everywhere. There's like tents everywhere for these homeless people. Like, no one really gives a fuck at that party too. Dude, it's funny. I'll tell David Dobrik part two. Like, David Dobrik was in a corner when they were singing a happy birthday. And it's in his vlog. Like, you can see he points it to his face. My buddy's right behind him. And my buddy has, like, not a social media kid. It has no concept of vlogging, really. And he's just like there was a birthday going on. And he's a super down-to-earth guy and, like, a really present person. And he, like, turns to the kid. He goes, hey, shut the fuck up. Like, to David Dobrik, he's like, hey, shut the fuck up. But they're singing a happy birthday. And he's like, why are you filming? Like yourself talking or whatever. And like, you can see, like, he doesn't like say anything to him, really ignores him. And my buddy was just so like annoyed with the whole culture of like, that's when like a couple people were like jumping on the couches too. Do you remember that? And they were like being like wicked ignorant. My buddy was just like, dude, like, I don't ever want to be friends with any of these kids. Like, they are so like no one even knows anybody. Right. Nobody even knew the girl's birthday. Right. Like it sounded like no one even like, I remember we talked to one person and then, I was like, yeah, like, who do you know here? Like, nobody really. And we found that so strange because coming where I'm from, like, I never really been to LA. And like, where I'm from, it's like, if you're in somebody's house, like, you know the fucking people who live there. Like, they're not going to let you in the house, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's like a whole different culture. I don't know half the kids that show up to my house when we like have get-togethers. But dude, it's crazy to think about because, yeah, you're right. Everything is super expensive. It's a complete dump. For the record, I'll go on record stating that nothing in LA has furthered my music career since I've been there for 3 years, which a lot of people do ask me.
Interesting.
And so it's like, I sit there and I talk with my parents and like other people. And I'm like, do you know how much money I would have if I never had gone to LA? Everything mm-hmm. worked out as it did, which it probably wouldn't have. But if it did, like I would have like so much money to put into the music that it could very well be much further along by now, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But I don't dwell on it. Like it's nothing I'm worried about. But yeah, no, it's just interesting that, it's interesting to think about.
No, it is, dude, 'cause people ask all the time, dude, 'cause just in Boston, people will say like, oh, like, do I have to move out? Like, ever since I started this, like, kind of coaching thing, like, I've had, you know, I put myself in a position of having more people ask advice and they're like, oh, like, I should move out to LA and I'll pop. And then, like, I'll even, like, reference, I'm like, yo, I have friends in LA and, like, they say that shit all the time. Like, it doesn't, nothing helped about being in this area. Like, there are people that blow up out of, like, some bumfuck town somewhere and they don't have to go outside their house. They're just in the studio more than you. You know what I mean?
Dude, prime example is this dude named Puya. He's one of my favorite rappers. He's in like Southern Florida. He has never left. And that dude is literally making like six figures a month off his streams. Josh A and Jake Hill. I'm sure you've heard of them. Maybe those kids,
not too much, no, but I've seen their name pop up every now and then.
Bro, look at their streaming numbers and you'll probably cry. Those
really?
Kids literally do up. Like 5 million streams a day.
What? And what's their names?
Maybe not a day. Josh, just look up Josh A on Spotify.
Josh A, dude.
This kid lives in Missouri, or that might be Jake. One of them lives in like nowhere. And these kids are like millionaires in a year off their music.
Dude, he does 1 million streams a day. And if he doesn't have a deal and if he's owning 100% of that
profit, no deal.
Dude, people don't even
He produces, mixes, and masters. He does everything. And all the visuals, and he animates this. He's out of his mind.
That's exactly what I'm trying to be, the guy who just has a pop in Spotify and just like doesn't have to be famous though. Like I'll just do some other, like I'll just do this pop. I'll just have a good time in my life. But like those checks that he's getting are fucking huge. Like I need people to understand that.
It's disgusting. He's making, for the record, if you do 1 million streams a day, you're making over six figures a month. So put that into perspective for other people.
That's fucking crazy, dude. Imagine that. That'd be fucking insane, dude. Oh my fucking God. But yeah.
And he just walks around and no one knows. Like, yeah, it's crazy. I'm trying to be on that wave. I definitely would not be a fan of being like an A-list celebrity, which is another thing people ask me where it's like, how far do you want to go? And it's like, definitely not that far, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked you.
Just like, you know, just like triple, quadruple the numbers, have that coasting and then do some tours, meet the fans and then do whatever.
Chilling. Then you can just invest in some other shit. Like I know you're into like different businesses. So it's like, wouldn't that sound like the dream? Just making 100,000 off your, like, what's it called? Passive income. Making 100,000 just off your streams and just chilling. And then like you can do other things. Like, dude, I would start like, I would do so many things to like help my friends, or like start like a MIH fund or some shit like that, where like I like help like my fans that want to be entrepreneurs, or like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I would definitely sign people and like, just blow them up and not take that much of a percent and just be a nice dude. That's definitely what I want to do.
Yeah. See, what, dude, you want to go to fucking Nashville now though? I see a lot of people trying to move to Nashville. Like what kind of inspired that? Have you been?
Just because honestly, yes, I love it. I've been there like 8 times. I've had some tour stops there.
Nice.
It's like LA, but clean, and the people are nice. So it's a music community and like the alternative rock scene and stuff. There's a lot of big players there and connections I could have access to, which could possibly help, maybe not, but it doesn't matter either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted like a cultural place where like music is still around, that like, you know, it's just cleaner, nicer, significantly cheaper, no homeless problem, like low crime rates. It's reasonably politically correct in where I align. It's like a blue city in a red state. So yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, why would I not? Because I'm not a fan of LA anymore. The people there suck. It's taken me 3 years to even find like a solid group of people to hang out with that I actually like.
Damn.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, well, if I'm going to do rock is migrating there as country migrates to Atlanta. Now that's a fun fact. Like a lot of country people are going to Atlanta. A lot of rock people are doing Nashville.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, I just have like part of my team, like I have a lawyer that works for me there that like gets me in rooms with labels that never really work out because they try to scam you. But just like, I don't know. I like Nashville a lot. Like the food and culture is great. Yeah. So it's just like one of those things where it's like switching up a little bit.
Fuck yeah. That's one of I've never been to Nashville, but it's like gone on my list to go spend like couple, like I want to go spend, I like to spend like a little extended period of time at places.
Yeah.
Check it out and shit. Just see. Cause like right now my plan is to like move to Miami. I don't know when, but like
Miami is a great place for multiple reasons. Miami is going to be the first city completely run on Bitcoin. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't.
They dropped a thing yesterday where they're putting like 1%, which is a lot in Miami money. Like that's disgusting amount of money into Bitcoin. And then they're going to try to make it like a hub for that side of things. And like music people are there. I've seen a lot of people move there. It's like a big, I feel like for like those e-commerce kids too, I feel like a lot of them live there too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like kind of why like I'm all about it too. That's cool though. I didn't know that with Bitcoin, but like, I love Miami. Like I've been there a bunch of times and I fucking love it. So I just want to get one of these. Like I already have the place in mind. Like I already talked to the place and I'm just waiting to make the move. But like, I don't know. I don't know where the fuck I'm at with it right now. It's just like, it would be a lot to move everything down there. Like I'm in the middle of a lease here and I got to wait till like end of September or like maybe sublet something. And like, mm-hmm. I don't know, but like, I fucking love to move down there, but I want to go back to the labels thing. You mentioned labels and you know, your lawyer can like help you out with like getting into meetings or whatever. And I think there's a huge misconception where people miss the mark. And there's so many assumptions, man, just because I'm listening to so many artists coming up right now that are talking to me about things. There's so many assumptions of like, I can't do this because I'm not signed. Like I would have that, but I'm not signed. Or like, this will never work because I'm not signed. And it's like, that's not fucking true, bro. Like you can make like a living. It's just like, you got to get lucky and work your ass off. But what has the labels situations been like for you? Like what have the conversations kind of been?
Well, first of all, for the record, whenever you see an artist like post on Instagram or something that they're in a label meeting, like they're making power plays, it's probably not, which is the first thing I learned by meeting all these labels. Dude, I probably met with like borderline every single one over quarantine, like literally every single one.
It's recent.
And well, it's just been weird because like a lot of the conversations were actually in the beginning of quarantine when things were weird and they were just more so just like introducing themselves and letting me know they're just like keeping an eye on me, which is like sick. I don't really care that much, but thank you for letting me know.
Those are the worst meetings ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a 30-minute phone call where they like get your backstory and get to know you. Then they're like cool. Well, yeah, we just want to let you know, like we're just keeping an eye on you. And I was like, nice. That doesn't mean no favors or anything. So
yeah, I've been
wasting my time.
We're going to check back in 6 months. And you're like,
or like when you have a huge song hit New Music Friday, we'll hit you up and we'll work from there. And it's just like weird. And then I actually started working with one that completely screwed up that one drop last month that I erupted on social media about, and I should have done more based on the way they reacted. It was a nightmare. So that just like, it didn't leave like a bad taste in my mouth, but it's just like, and then like my conversation we had on FaceTime, like an app that was like what, 2 hours long the other week.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, cause I was operating this whole year, like I was going to sign. Cause we are almost to a point with my music where it almost would make sense to sign just because it's like, we have some radio ready stuff and like stuff like that. But it's just like, I was operating like I was going to sign a deal. And then I realized the reason I blew up in the first place was because I was operating like I was never going to sign a deal. Mm-hmm. And I was dropping songs about how I was never going to sign a deal and stuff like that. So it was just like going back to the basics, like the roots where we came from. So it's just like, I was like, okay, I'm going to operate 2021. Like I'm never signing a record deal. And if the right one comes up, cool, probably won't, based on my position. I almost have too much leverage. Mm-hmm. Like it's a weird spot to be in because like I got a deal offered to me that was like 30 grand for 2 years of music. And I sent them my income and I was like, you guys think I'm just like so far beyond dumb. Like you'd have to be so stupid to do that. And it was like a huge reputable label. And I was like, huh, maybe I outpaced them. And now I have to get a little bigger before I get the right deal. So I might as well operate like I won't, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect fucking sense. And you did, bro. You did outpace them. Like, it's just another system thing that like you look at like artists that are popping up out of nowhere and like getting signed out of nowhere. It's because, bro, if I'm like a record label, a big known record label that has a brand behind it, and I go to the hood and I find this kid who has no money and is struggling very hard, and I go, hey man, I'm gonna give you 30 grand for 2 years. They say, wow, 30 grand, that sounds amazing. Like, we're gonna take 99% of everything that you own, and we're gonna take the catalog too, going like after we're done with you too. Yeah, that sounds perfect. And then they give them an advance and they're like, wow, that saves their life. You know whose life that doesn't save?
Right.
Ryan Oakes. Because Ryan Oakes has too much leverage and he's too fucking smart and educated on the subject to fall for something stupid like that. So they don't want, like, like I say this all the time, like a label shouldn't really want me. Like a label shouldn't really want you if they're, unless they're trying to actually be genuine. But like for the most part, right, we learned that it's kind of a scheme and it is a scam. You know, the contracts back in the day used to be called, they used to call like the side contract slaves. And so it's like, literally it was called like a slave contract. And so why would, I remember I was just looking at your YouTube comments on your latest video. I think it was Ghost where I saw it. And someone's like, oh, like, is he going to, like, talking about you signing? And somebody else, like, it's funny, your fans go back and forth, like, no, he's not going to sign you. And then they were just talking about it. And I'm just like, bro, like, you, like, they're consumers, so they have no idea. But it's like, you don't understand the process behind that. Like, there's no, like, they don't want, like, they either want him to fuck him, or they don't want him really at all because he has too much leverage. It's like a middle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a weird spot to be in, because it's like, you would assume that once you get these crazy numbers, you're going to get a crazy deal, but it's like the complete opposite. They're like, huh, we can't really make that much money off this, so we're going to get someone else that we can give 30 grand and make $3 million off of.
Bro, you talk about those, you say like, you know, artists that are like popping and that are like working a job because of their deals. And there's artists that are like signed. Like I'm thinking, you know, someone's particular in my head, but it's like someone that's signed and I know he has less streams than me. And I'm like, damn, like, and you're seeing like probably like 10% of that bread sometimes. It's like, damn, that's like fucking tough. Like that's a tough situation to be in, but you got to keep up this image. Like everything's good because you're signed. Right. That's popping.
Right. And like, and the ones with jobs are usually like my band friends that are in big bands just because they can't tour. Sure. The band, like they lost all their income.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy watching. Like I have like a couple dozen friends signed, friends, like acquaintances I met, but I at least know a few dozen people that I've connected with that have signed. And I only know one that ended up happy with his deal. And thank God it was my friend Zero. But everyone else that I've talked to, like when people leave labels, I'm a huge fan of DMing them and being like, hey, how did you like it? And they all are just like, we were miserable the whole time. Like we hated it. We couldn't get out of it. Mm. These really big kids right now that have like a couple million monthly and built it themselves and signed, got screwed by this one label and they've been trying to get out of it forever. Yeah, it's just weird, man. Like it's just a weird game to play and I don't know if I want to play it. So the goal is to not need to ever sign, obviously, for sure.
Yeah. You definitely won't need to, bro. I don't think you're ever going to need to.
We'll see how this year pans out. I don't think I'll need to either, and I'd really prefer not to.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to fucking manifest that shit. How are things going, you know, other than the music shit right now? Like how are things going with you, like mentally, like kind of, you know, where you're at? I know you said at the beginning of the pandemic, you were kind of stressing a little bit. That was more of like the financial thing, just like not very uncertain. But I think in this game that me and you play, everything is uncertain. Like I would kill to have just more fucking certainty, but I have no, it's just uncertain. Like you said, your Spotify gets deleted tomorrow, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, how do you feel about like kind of like going forward with everything? Like, I guess in your mental health, cause you've actually like talked a lot in your music about mental health.
Yeah.
I want to touch on that with you. Like where you at?
I mean, I'm chilling hardcore right now. Like from when we talked a few weeks ago, when I was like kind of stressing until now. And it's mainly just because all the weird, sketchy investment stuff I've been doing is paying off significantly. So now it's just like, okay, I was right about that. But
weird, sketchy investment stuff.
Like Bitcoin. Like people think Bitcoin's like a sketchy thing, but it's really not that sketchy.
Yeah.
But I've been super into like journaling and stuff has been huge. Like nice. If you look up scripting, speaking of manifesting, like I've been scripting every single day and it's basically where you just write a year or two from now, when you finally reach your dream life, like how it is every single day. And then it's supposed to like play itself out eventually if you keep doing it. So I do that every day.
That's cool.
It's crazy. It's crazy how that shit works. Like I did some stuff where it literally happened the same day. Like I wrote some stuff down that happened like the day I wrote it. And it was like thinking a year or two into the future. Like it's kind of crazy, but, I'm a super big believer in all that stuff anyway, but yeah, just like stuff like that and still working out and like trying to eat healthier and stuff has helped a lot. It's made a huge difference. I just need to be better about sleeping because I suck at that, but it is what it is.
Feel that, bro. Yeah, I know. Yeah, dude, I that's pretty cool. So you do that every single day, the scripting thing?
Yeah, there's so many different things you can do. Like there's this thing 5x55 where you write 55 times what you want to manifest for 5 straight days or whatever. And that's the one that I saw happen like on the fifth day, like everything everything I wrote down happened that day, which was fucking crazy. Doesn't usually happen that way. I think I just lucked out and it was kind of coincidental. Yeah. But like all these crazy things happened the day that like I stopped. Like I got crazy music opportunities for when I get back to LA. Bitcoin exploded. Like all my investments went wild. Like it was crazy. Like and my girlfriend was like watching it all happen, and she was like, "That is literally wild." That's insane, dude. Yeah,
I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah, dude, try. I'm telling you, and play. Do it while you listen to 932
hertz. 932
hertz. That's the manifestation frequency.
Okay, cool.
Just look up like a YouTube video. They have like those 10-hour long videos of just like a frequency.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I'm definitely into like the spirit. I've been getting more spiritual this year. And it's helped me.
That's my goal. Yeah. 2021 is the year where I'd like dive deep in that stuff because it's like super fascinating to me.
Yeah. I hopped off at the last like couple months, but like you turn into like fucking like I feel so much stronger mentally and like more acquainted with who I am and just like aligned.
Well, speaking with all that, I could argue that when my music blew up, it was because of that. I was reading like a self-help book, like one a week for like six straight months. I read like 30 or 40 books. And then right after I stopped doing that, everything took off, and then I stopped to focus on the music, and then I stopped. And then now that I've started doing it again, all this wild stuff is happening. So it's kind of crazy.
No shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that shit's fucking legit. You never really know, dude. But
I know.
But I mean, okay, cool. I'm gonna flip the script on you real quick. I didn't really prep you for this, and I probably should do this. But I guess I'll on my end, like any thoughts or questions directed towards like me and in my path, or just like, you know, anything in general, I kind of want to give you the floor a little bit.
Well, why don't you go somewhat an explanation about what the, I don't know if you've done it before, but your situation, the investment situation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, basically I have like there's an investment company, and they, if anyone's ever heard of like angel investors or whatever, like people that like they are specifically targeted towards music. So what it is a record deal, but the deal is that they're going to raise the numbers like up to $1 million. But like we have like a basic number set for what it's going to be. And then we're going to release 8 songs. Like I choose whatever 8 songs that I'm going to release with them. And then we're going to split the profits. They have to get their 100% return on it. Once they reach, like, let's say they raise $100,000 from me, right? Then once they make $100,000 back, then we're going to split the profits 50-50 for up to 3 years upon completion of the release of the 8 songs. So they'll probably see, like, you'll probably see, like, whoever's listening to this, they'll see, like, an 8 song project come out at one point from me in 2021. And that's going to be the project. And then once they recoup their money, we make 50-50. And then after 3 years, I own 100% of the project, and they stopped getting any royalties for it. And I think that's kind of the new direction of like where deals are going or where they can go, because I'm not as far along as you are. And I've had way less conversations, I'm sure, than you, but like the conversations I did have were like, nothing ever made sense for me. And I think now it's like, I view my everything that I'm doing is almost like a startup company. You know, like when I graduated college, like I worked for like a couple days, I worked for a strong startup, and I have buddies in that space that are like really like high level in those companies. And I'm like, dude, everything that I'm doing now, I'm going to view as like MIH, Matt Corman, is like a startup company. And so basically it's just like raising like a Series B or Series C funding for a company. And so I'm going to use that funds. I get to decide how I'm going to use the funds. So if it weighs like $100,000, like I get to decide like what I'm going to do with the $100,000. I don't know yet. That's why I have like a person that I'm bringing on that's hopefully going to help me and like align that shit, because, you know, it gets to a point where it's like hard. It's like, you're the artist. And let's say like, I was like, all right, Ryan, like I'm going to give you $100,000. And then like, we're going to split the profits of this for 3 years. But like, you decide the best way to make the shit pop off. Like, what would you do? Like, I have a couple different ideas, of course, but like, it gets hard because you're like, damn, like, what if like this actually doesn't hit? Like, should I do a TikTok campaign? Like, should I do like an influencer campaign? Like, or should it not be as much marketing and more into like, should I get the fires beats and shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think the future of labels is definitely like something along the lines of that, because we're just going to keep seeing more trends where the artists that are independent just keep getting bigger, bro. Like some of these kids are going to get so damn, like some of them are already so disgustingly big that some labels can't even get them to that point. And it's crazy to even think about that, because all I did was post the music. But yeah, they got to think of something soon, because the rate at which more and more independent artists are making a living off their music is just going to keep exponentially going up. It'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting next couple of years.
Absolutely. It changed the space too. Like even like with this investment company, like we started talking about like, now we're thinking about like other business ventures, like outside of music together, because like they learned, like I have that, my Spotify growth guide. And like, I'm like really invest a lot of my time into e-commerce and like just some other areas. And it's like, oh, like this kid isn't just a musician. He has like a business mind. So like maybe he can help us out with like X, Y, and Z. So like, it's just always good to keep your ears open to like other like investment situations. You know what I mean? If you're an independent artist out there, that's like scared of anything, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, I agree.
But all right, cool. Let's fucking, if you have anything to say, I want to keep this like, it's a little bit over an hour. That's fine. I want to keep you, give you the floor. If you have anything to say to the fans out there or anybody, what would you have to say to them to keep them motivated, keep them going out there?
Yeah. I mean, like we said earlier, 100% of the people that I know that were in it for the right reasons and didn't give up, they literally made it. Some of them are millionaires. Some of them are just coasting. Some of them are financially happy. Like some of them are just happy in general. Because they're chasing their dreams and doing what they love every day. So, I mean, that's the best way to go for me, is just doing what I love every day and hoping it works out and just kind of figuring things along the way. Whenever I've jumped without seeing like a net, the net always is there. It just takes some time to get there and it makes sense in the end. So, I mean, just keep going. Make it happen.
Make it happen. What a fire saying. Jump without a net and the net has been there. I've never heard that one before. That's funny.
That's not for me, for the record. That's definitely a famous saying, but I resonate pretty heavily with it.
Yeah. Make sure you guys follow Ryan Oaks. If you guys are here all the way through, I love you, because I know, you know, I don't listen to podcasts all the way through every time. So if you're here all the way through, then you should do yourself the favor and go follow Ryan Oaks. If you're not already following him, what is it on everything? Is it just Ryan? It's Ryan Oaks?
No, dude, my arch enemy. There's this famous magician named Ryan Oaks. So he has like the Ryan Oaks handle on everything. So just follow me. I mean, Twitter's kind of cool still. So I'm Ryan Oaks on Twitter. Instagram is just Ryan Oaks Music. And then what counts the most, follow me on any streaming platform. I'll be the biggest Ryan Oaks on them. So just click the biggest one and I'll be me. So
fuck yeah, guys. Well, thanks for stopping by, bro. I appreciate it. And
appreciate you for having me, bro.
Up on the pod. We'll have to rip one of these in person at some point. It's better, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down.
But all right, guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Kids at Work podcast with Matt Corman. Make sure you guys follow Ryan Oaks and stay tuned. Everything, he's got a big year coming up ahead. Hope you guys keep working your asses off out there and keep your chin up, and have a great day at work. Peace.